Welcome along to another episode of The Score on this Thursday evening, the 21st of November. I am your host, Mark Gallagher, and tonight on the programme in our local soccer segment, Dan Breslin, the Secretary of St Catharines, chats to Chris Ashmore ahead of this weekend's Ulster Cup fixtures. Derry City have appointed a successor for Rory Higgins. We'll hear from the new Candy Stripes boss, Tiernan Lynch, and also have a chat with Gary Ferry of the Derry News about what Lynch will bring to the table. And it's been a big week for Tyrconnell AC athlete Kelly McGrory. She was in the 4x400m relay team that was named the Irish Athletics Team of the Year at this week's award ceremony. We'll hear from Kelly and her teammate Sophie Becker. But firstly, we are going to begin with Gaelic Games, and our feature game this weekend is Niamh Padraig Ishkakane of Muffs clash with Craigban of Derry in the Ulster Junior Football Championship final. We will have live match coverage here on Highland with Oisin Kelly, Brendan Kilcoyne and Brendan Devaney on Sunday afternoon. Here is Oisin Kelly with a preview of the big game in which he spoke to club captain Dermot Keaveney and chairman Joe Lynch.
Listen, Joe, we'll start with you first of all. Myself and Brendan Kilcoyne were talking coming up the road after the doing commentary in the semi-final last weekend. And we were discussing that it's a bit unfair on both yourself and Craigban, the finalists, and the first time there for yourselves, that you don't get a longer time to enjoy the build-up to the game. Like, the intermediate and the seniors, hurling and football, all have 2 weeks, but the junior finalists only have a week to savour the build-up to the big game.
Yeah, that is true, Oisin, but I suppose whatever it is, maybe it's to do with the fact that the winners have to travel to England, to Warwickshire, afterwards. Maybe that's part of the problem, to give them a bit of time. But whatever it is, Oisin, we have to run with it. It's just what's going. It'd been lovely to get the 2 weeks, but unfortunately that's not the way it is.
Yep. Okay. And what's the build-up been like since last weekend, Joe, around the club? What's the feel around the parish down there?
Oh, it's brilliant, how it's great. We have clubs and flags and buntings all over the parish. And it's a great boost for all the children to experience this. It's a marvellous thing. We have two national schools in our parish, Oisin, Scullinay Finian and Scullinay Bridge. And myself and Michael McMenamin have been into there every Tuesday morning for over 20 years now. So we're reaping the benefits of this which is happening.
Yeah, you certainly are. And I suppose as well, all the teams across the club at all levels have got a huge lift from this, not just the senior team.
Oh, exactly. This boosts everything. I say the rising tide lifts all boats. So all our teams have got a huge boost with this. Our club was established in 1989. And at the moment, we have two full-size playing pitches, a covered stand, a clubhouse, a ball wall, an all-weather pitch. And we're in the process now of building a gym. That's our big project at the minute, Oisin.
Yeah. We'll go to Dermot, the captain of the club. Dermot, it's been a fantastic championship so far, and I suppose at this stage you have very much parked the semi-final victory, and full focus on Sunday morning was turned into the final.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's our first stint in Ulster, and it's been going well so far. We're enjoying the journey. I know one of the lads at the start of the season joked about actually winning Ulster. Like, we got the dates for the year, and we joked that maybe about the Ulster final. And you know what? We knew we were good enough for Donegal, and when we won that county title, we got ourselves together and says we're not in this just to take part. Like, why not give it a go? We knew we were good enough. We have the talent, we have the experience here, ourselves, a couple of old bucks in the team as well that helps. So we just says give it a go, and here we are in the final. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I know, speaking to Daniel, your manager, he had full confidence in you guys from when the season came to an end last year. It was on a disappointing ebb, but he knew going into this year that he had a squad that was good enough to compete in Donegal and compete in Ulster. And you fed off that, what he was saying, so you did, Dermot.
Yeah, 100%. As Dan said, this is 2 years in the making. He was joint manager for a few years, and then he got it by himself, and he sat us down at the start of the season, and he set out his targets of what we could achieve. And the belief was there, the passion was there, and our work rate as well. Unfortunately, last year we were beating penalties against Mavull in the semi final. We had a lot of injuries that time as well, but this year we knuckled down, and I think we're training nearly a year now. Did a lot of work in the gym this year, just kind of to help with injuries and stuff. It's definitely benefited us. Yeah. But yeah, 100%. We knew we were good enough for Donegal, and we thought, why not give Ulster a rattle too?
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to win competitions and you're going to go all the way, you have to put in the commitment to it. It's obvious you guys have done this because you haven't stopped for basically 12 months, and you've put in outstanding performances and matches. And it seems to be a trait now of this new Padraig team, Dermot, that you are very, very good at getting out of the blocks early and building an advantage in games, which we've seen obviously in the Donegal final and even last week in the semi-final in Ulster.
Yeah. 100%. We always want to go at teams straight away. Like our warm up is always intense, and we're always ready to go. So we always kind of target teams to go at them fast. And every man's always up for it. Adrenaline's going through them. Always try and start the game fast, and it's definitely benefited us in every game. Especially the final too. That we got into that county final, we kind of was going on as underdogs, even like the media kind of had Karen as favourites. But that suited us. I think within the 10 minutes, we kind of blew Karen away and nobody really expected it. Yeah. But that fast start definitely helped us.
Listen, I know you are very much carrying your former colleague, Evan Craig, in your hearts through every match that you are playing. And I suppose to honour him, this is a factor as well in games that you go into battle in, Dermot.
Yeah, 100%. Like, Evan is always we're always in our minds. Like, we're always thinking about him every game. We have wristbands with EC13 on it. Evan Craig 13 was his number. So it's close to our hearts. Like, we knew ourselves as a team when Evan passed away. We had the game against Neat Breeze. Like, it was tough a few days later after his funeral, but the boys wanted to play it. Like, and they played with passion. And we just said to ourselves, we're going to win this county title for Evan. And we did that. We got him his medal. Yeah. What he deserved.
Joe, we'll bring you back in. Joe, listen, there's huge sadness within the parish at that stage during the season on Evan's passing. But it's amazing the way a tight-knit community can all come together and club together.
This is correct. I think the whole club rallied round at the time. And it actually gave a great bonding to the club. And a boost to our club, you know, that the people, in fact, rolled in behind each other and supported the Craig family at that time, which was badly needed.
And Joe, as you say, you are a relatively new club, and the success has come your way, and obviously yous are looking for more. But this is all paid off with hard work that has been put in down through the years with the older generation, I suppose, of the members of the club who have lost other members through the years as well.
Yes, that is true, Austin. We have, and you know, it's thanks to all our club coaches, managers, captains and underage, the hard work that they put in, day out, and that thing, and the time that they give to boys and girls. This is what has now benefited our club and come to the club has reaped this reward because of their work.
Yeah. What's the week been like for you, Joe?
Oh, absolutely brilliant. People ringing, people chatting, people saying about the club and about everything else and how are we going to do and what our plans are and everything else. You know, absolutely superb, non-stop. Yeah. It's unbelievable, the boost that it's given us.
Yeah, and Joe, you can't stop here, so you can't. You have to keep going. You guys have a lot going on at the club and you have to keep that work going as well.
Oh, exactly. Well, the work's going on both on and off the pitch. What we see here with the boys, and fair play to them, they're doing it on the pitch. But there's also a lot of work going on behind the scenes in the club, you know, part of the club development and all that, which is a big thing for the club itself. Yeah. So all these things are happening, and we should give the whole club and the whole parish a great lift.
Yeah. It makes it easy going forward. Listen, Dermot, what's this week been like with you? Obviously, we heard from Joe there and messages, and there's a great buzz in the parish. What's it like for the players trying to stay focused?
Yeah, it's a real buzz in the camp as well as the players. Like, it's like the Ulster final is amazing. It's to get there. The boys we're all like so excited for it. We're up for it and training on Tuesday too as well. We know what's ahead of us as well. Like, Craig Bann, they're a very good team. They've kind of maybe had the harder side of the draw. They beat the Tyrone champions. They beat Monaghan champions and the Cavan champions. So fair play to them for getting the final. Ourselves as well, we had on Monday night, we had a wee bit of a recovery session too because legs are sore after the game on Saturday. And as you said, like, we only have a week to prepare. So we're training again tonight. It'll be light enough. Get together as a group and stay focused as well. Just look forward to Saturday to get going.
Did you get to watch much of that Craig Bann game on Saturday? Obviously, you were doing your intense warm-up ahead of your game, which was delayed because they went to penalties in their match because they seemed gone at one stage in the fixture but managed to pull it back from 8 or 9 points down. So obviously, they're going to be a formidable opposition. So they are. They're going to be a tough opponent.
Yeah, we watched most of the first half, and then we were done to do our warm up like that at Healy Park. They have a wee kind of an astro pitch in off the change room, so it was quite congested. We were doing a wee warm up in there, and then we got word that the game finished a draw, so it went to extra time, so that delayed everything. But we stayed focused, and then some of the boys kind of went out to watch a bit of the extra time, and then we heard it went to penalties, but. No, fair play to the lads. Like we all stay focused. We knew what we had to do against College Land, and we got the one. And it's great, a great one it was too. Yep. An early start as well. That we got. I think we led 5-0 or 6-0.
6-0. You were up very early on, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like I think once you get that lead, it gives us confidence to maybe game management. Control things. They kind of came back into it, but then we got that goal in the second half, and I think that was we knew ourselves that was maybe the one was coming for us then after we got that goal.
Things seem to be going right at the minute because we've seen the likes of Keelan McColgan coming back as well. Dermot, he got a half a football and he was doing his warm down afterwards, and we have to wait to see what's going to happen with Kevin Lynch if there's anything in him for the final at the weekend. So things are starting to fall into place timing wise for you.
Yeah, 100%. Indeed, like we've lost the two lads over the last couple of games, like, and they're a huge loss they were. But we have a strong squad, like, and we have big numbers of training. Boys are going well, and there's plenty of lads to step up as well. So it's great to have that. Like last year, we probably didn't have that depth in squad with injuries and stuff. So maybe luck is on our side this year, thankfully.
All right, then. Just finally from you, Dermot, confident ahead of the weekend.
Yeah, you got to go into the game confident. Like it's, I think I've been playing a long, long time, and I think this is probably the greatest senior team ever to be involved with. Everybody's so talented. The confidence, the work rate they've put in this year. Yeah, you have to be confident going into the game. But we know what the challenge is going to be. Craig Bann, a very good team, playing Division 2 in Derry all year. Some big results. So you got to be cautious as well. But yeah, definitely confident.
And just we'll leave the final word to you, Joe. What would it mean if Niamh Padraig Éiscaigheán were to lift an Ulster title on Saturday at Celtic Park in Derry?
Well, this would be massive. Actually massive for any show and any show on board. You know, when I think about Oisin, when I played Gaelic football, there was only one club and any show. Now we have 7 clubs competing. That in my time alone is a massive progress. But the boost and the lift that it'll give to everybody in any show is fantastic. So Niamh Padraig aboot, long may it last.
Okay, listen, gentlemen. Joe McLaughlin, chairman of Niamh Padraig, and club captain Dermot Keevney. Many thanks for joining us today on Highland. And all we can do here is wish you the very best of luck in that Ulster final on Saturday.
Thanks, Oisin.
Thanks, Oisin. Slán.
Oisin will be providing live match commentary of that game along with Brendan Kilcoyne and Brendan Devaney from Throw-In at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon. Elsewhere on Saturday at Park Columbkill in Carrickmore at 1:30, we'll see the meeting of Kerry Fawes of Antrim against Castle Blaney of County Monaghan. That is in the Ulster Hurling Intermediate Club Championship semi-final. At 4:00 at the Boxit Athletics Grounds in Armagh, Arva of County Cavan take on Mahara Clune of Monaghan. That is in the Ulster Intermediate Club Championship semi-final. And also on Saturday evening, just after that game at the Boxit Athletics Grounds, it will be the meeting of Carl Lacey's Kilcoo side. They take on Scotstown of County Monaghan. That is in the Ulster Football Senior Club Championship semi-final. The winners of that game will take on the winners of Clanairn and Errigal Kieran. They play at Park Esler in Newry on Sunday at 3:15. Francis Mooney will be providing live updates from that game. Before that, on Sunday, in the Intermediate Club Championship semi-final, Ballinderry of Derry take on Terman's Conquerors, Derry Loughan. That's in the Intermediate Club semi-final in Ulster. It's also a big weekend in the Under-21 Championships here in Donegal. The Under-21C football final will take place on the 20th November. Plays Knowles and Killybegs. It gets underway at 8:30 at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. On Saturday, the Under-21B football semi-final will take place between Clohanealy and Milford. That one is under the lights in Convoy from 8. And on Sunday, it is the turn of the Under-21A footballers. They will take part in the semi-finals. It'll be Four Masters against Neve Connell. That one is at 12 o'clock in Ballyshannon. And at the same time in Milford, it'll be Glen Swilly taking on Gidore. And not forgetting the Ulster Ladies Minor Club Championship semi-final at Dunloe. It's a big weekend for their minor ladies. And they will take on O'Donovan Rossa of Mahara Felt. They're the Derry champions. That game will take place at 2 p.m. in Mahara Felt. And they will play the winners of St. Ernest's of County Antrim and Kerry Duff of County Down in the final. Well, it is time for a short break. We will be back with more after these. You're very welcome back to The Score. Well, Derry City have appointed a new manager this week. Former Larne boss Tiernan Lynch has taken the reins at the Brandywell. During the week, Martin Holmes caught up with the new Candy Stripes boss.
Tiernan, I take it this was an offer you couldn't refuse?
Absolutely not. As I say, massive football club, massive potential. And the opportunity to come here and try and build on the success that Rory had was just something that I couldn't turn down.
Fans are disappointed the way last season ended. Appointment of the new manager is always a good boost. Very quick appointment. You're not coming on with long-term plans and stuff like that. You want to hit the ground running, probably sign up the players that you can sign. You'll be looking maybe to add one or two, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, today's day one, and we're fully aware of the players that are on board. Fully aware of the players that are maybe sitting on the fence a little bit. Hopefully we'll get to spend a little bit of time with them ASAP and help them understand the plans that we have and the structures that we'd like to implement, and hopefully they'll sign up to that.
During a press conference, somebody said that this is a town with thousands of managers and they come here every other Friday night. You know the expectation in this town is massive on the football team?
Yeah, listen, I think any big club always has expectations, and Derry City's no different. And we're fully aware of that. As I keep saying, that this is not a quick fix. This is not something that's a flick of a switch and you're going to now start challenging Rovers and overtaking Rovers and Shelburne and all goes with it. There's a process to go through here. There's structures to be put in place. But I've no doubt in my mind, or I wouldn't be here, that we can get where we need to go.
You raised a few eyebrows turning down the job in Scotland, and you've probably raised a few more eyebrows taking this job.
Yeah, I'm sure people that aren't fully aware of the size of this football club and the history that comes with it and the opportunity that lies ahead would maybe be wondering why you didn't go into the Scottish Premiership to get that opportunity to play against Celtic and Rangers and all goes with it. But I'm a huge advocate of the Irish League and I'm a huge advocate of the League of Ireland, and I think that there's so many top teams, so many top managers, so many top players, and it's something that I'm really excited to be part of.
Season ticket demand is big in the town, match tickets huge as well. They're building a big stand here behind us, more fans coming in, all augurs well for the future.
Yeah, listen, we have to try and make this place a fortress. We have to try and get this to the stage where all these fans are coming in here with smiles on their faces and buzzing about what we want to do. And the big thing for me is making sure that the players give that back. Anybody that's going to stay on our coaching staff and be part of what we want to do, is it's all about hard work. It's about rolling your sleeves up and making sure that we put our heads in our pillows at night, knowing that we've given everything for this football club, and the players have to be exactly the same. There'll be no passengers.
A little bit earlier, I caught up with Gary Ferry of the Derry News to get a little bit more information into what kind of manager Derry City are getting.
Oh, I think Derry City are getting a very, very ambitious manager. You know, he made it clear he wanted a club who could match his ambition. You know, he took Larne to the top Irish Premiership, but maybe as far as they could go. You know, he took them to the group stages of Europa Conference League. Amazing achievement for Larne when you think. He took Larne over when they were in the first division 7 years ago, and he led them to the very, very top. So I think he says now it was the right time, and it just kind of, the timing was right in terms of Derry City, in terms of Tiernan Lynch. And, you know, he wants He wants more. He wants Derry City to be the biggest club in Ireland. And, you know, he's very ambitious and he's proved he can get the trophies and get results.
Yeah, is the general consensus among Derry fans that this is a good appointment? I know we saw the supporters grow fairly frustrated with Rory Higgins towards the end of last season. The feeling surely now is a bit more optimistic.
Well, I think it's the same when any new player signs the club and a new manager comes in. There's always optimism, and I think you can't help but be impressed by Tiernan Lynch's CV. You know, back-to-back titles in the Irish Premiership. He's taken the club to Europe, and as I said, the group stages. You know, he's proved adaptable. He improves players. His recruitment has been good. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. It was a painful way for Derry City to end the season. Just missing out by their fingernails on the double, really. You know, if they'd just been able to see it through. Even if they'd won the cup last Sunday, things could have been much different. But, you know, in football, things change quickly. Things happen quickly. And in football, there's always another opportunity. So the fans are excited and they're already looking forward to next season.
Yeah, and in terms of the levels, he is, as you say, coming off the back of a very successful spell with Larne. Do you think this is a big step up for him to the League of Ireland?
I think it is a step up, yeah. I think Gary City's a massive job. I think he recognises that. Loads and loads of people expressing interest in the Gary City job who wanted to apply for it. But the board got together and they all came up with the name Tiernan Lynch because it is a step up for him. You know, he has achieved remarkable success. The League Ireland has seen recently, like even with Shamrock Rovers beating Larne easily in the group stages in Europe. It is a step up for him. It's a step up for his brother, Seamus, who will come along as a coach. But, you know, they want this step up. They want to challenge themselves. They want to prove that they can be a success at a higher level.
Yeah, and Lynch, I suppose, he'll have certain objectives for the upcoming season. Do you think he'll be given the time needed to build over a couple of years? Or, you know, given the circumstances, will there be a bit of pressure on him to deliver silverware, maybe even the league title in his first season? Or what do you think there?
No, I don't think there'll be too much pressure on Tiernan to deliver a league title in his first season. I mean, even when Rory was on, they spoke about a 3-year plan and they came so close to achieving their goals. You know, 2 FA Cup finals, finishing second twice, and then even this season passed, they finished fourth. But they could have won the league 2 weeks before the end of the season. It was right in their hands. They came so close. Tiernan, it's a new project. He's going to have his own ideas. He'll bring in his own players. I think the fans want to see football that they're going to go home happy with, scoring goals, playing good football, and if he can produce that, then he will buy himself the time to deliver on the trophies.
Yeah, and you touched on it a wee bit earlier, a new manager does bring that certain bounce to a club. By the time the new season rolls around, Derry City should be in a good place, shouldn't they?
Well, I mean, it's still 3 months away, but the hard work has to begin right away because there's a number of key players, out of contract at Derry City. Tiernan will be hoping to tie them down. Players have already left the club, so there will be players need to be brought in, and it's about finding the right players very quickly because all our clubs, all our big competitors have already signed players. Derry City haven't signed anyone yet, whereas they've lost 3 or 4, so you can't wait about. The season's still 3 months away and we can all look forward to that, but for the manager and for his team, it starts right away, which was yesterday.
Gary Ferry of the Derry News. Now, in local soccer, it is another big weekend of Ulster Cup action here in the county. Dan Breslin is the secretary of St Catharines, who ply their trade in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division, and they host Laggan Harps in the provincial competition this weekend. Breslin spoke to Highland's Chris Ashmore about the progress of his club and how local soccer is looking in South Donegal.
Dan Breslin, the secretary of St Catharines, and I know also Dania. You have a couple of hats within the club at underage and also helping out Sean Kelly with the senior first team. But a busy weekend ahead. We'll have a look at the Ulster Cup. Number of big games on there. We'll start with your own club, St Catharines, at home to Laggan Harps. It's a good competition. Maybe sometimes doesn't get the respect it deserves. It's a competition that not as arduous as the FAI Junior Cup. A bit less travel involved, and you know, doubt teams like yourselves when you're going into this competition in it to win it.
Absolutely, Chris. You know, I don't know about the travel there. Cause the previous round we were in Greencastle, And that was the second time this year we've been up there. We were previously up there in the FAA Junior as well. But thankfully, look, we came out of Greencastle with two good results. And I suppose the focus now for Ulster Club, for Sean and the lads, would definitely be, you know, just take it, I suppose, round by round, but with the aim of trying to go as far as we can. You know, there's definitely some big hitters left in there when you look at the fixtures. But I suppose with the Cup, all you're wanting is a home draw, which we have. I know we're welcoming Lagan Harps this weekend, and looking at Lagan, you know, they're going all right. They're in the mix there in Division 1, so we'll be taking nothing for granted.
Yeah, now your own form has sort of been a little bit up and down in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division so far, but it really is a very good competitive league this season, and, you know, you're certainly giving it your best shot.
Ah, yeah, look, it's there's no secret, you know, the quality of teams that are now in the Premier Division of the Donegal League. I suppose, look, it's for the likes of ourselves. We've been challenging there with Fannin the last number of years. And I suppose with the reintroduction of Letterkenny Rovers and Bonagee, you know, for clubs like ourselves, look, there was probably, you know, a lot of noise of what club was signing who and, you know, etc. But it's, you know, it's up to ourselves to raise our standards locally. Look, form wise, we've played 5 games. Looking at it, you know, the lads have come off of 1 victory and 1 draw against Bonagee and 3 defeats. But I mean, I suppose out of those 5 games, I would say performance wise, there's only one that really sticks out that we would be very, very disappointed with. You know, we've come off the back of 2 really tough battles with Letterkenny Rovers in the FAA Junior and then into the league. So I suppose those games can be energy zapping. And going into last weekend against Guidoa, it really was, you know, it was a must win. We've seen it even at this early stage of the season, you know, all that mattered really was 3 points, even though we probably would be a wee bit disappointed with the performance in that game. But again, 3 points is all you can ask for.
Yeah. Now, St. Catharines, a club with a great tradition going back many years. Great to have somebody like Sean Kelly, ex-League of Ireland player, leading the way with the first team. And in some respects, you know, you've always been the big club in the south of the county.
Yeah, look, it's great to have Sean back in, without a doubt. He's brought, you know, he's really freshened things up since he came on board, you know, and he's, you know, he's been supported well with other lads behind the scenes. And I suppose when he came in, like, it's not on just on the pitch, but, you know, the standards throughout, like, off the pitch in terms of our facilities and I suppose, our, you know, how we train and what we can bring to support the Sunday team. That really has, you know, stepped up over the last couple of years. So it's, you know, both on and off the pitch, things are going really well for us, you know. Even right down to your underage, you know, teams, we've had record numbers in 2024 of players registered from underage right up to our under-16s, both boys and girls. So it's great, you know. The only problem we're having, Chris, is facilities. We're short on land, you know, but we're surviving as best we can. We could do it a second pitch, but look, we can just keep battering on. But without a doubt, since Sean has come back in, you know, he's really has refreshed things, new ideas. You know, he's a huge experience from playing in the League of Ireland, so it's just great that he's on board again this year, and long may that continue.
Yeah. Now, the Ulster Cup, you mentioned you were in action against Inishowen opposition last time out, and this is probably one of the main features of this competition. It's a chance for Donegal League clubs to play clubs from the Inishowen League. Sometimes you know a little bit about them, sometimes you don't. And it's also a league that's very strong these days.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you don't get the opportunity too often to play Inishowen teams. And I suppose when you're drawn against an Inishowen team, you're planning to find out as much information as you can, so you're using your resources as best you can. I suppose we were lucky in a wee bit that we'd our goalkeeper Daniel Malarkey from Mallon, and previously played with one of the teams up around Mallon there, and I suppose he was, you know, helpful in terms of sourcing information. But again, it's on the day when you go up to these teams. But again, with the Ulster Cup, you're not only playing Donegal sides, you can be drawn to a Monaghan team or a Cavan team where they would enter, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a good competition, yeah.
Now, looking at the fixtures this weekend, we've mentioned St. Catharines against Lagan Harps, of course. The game's on with a 1:30 start. Carndonagh against Kildrum, you probably know more about Kildrum than Carndonagh, but they're two big names, two clubs that I'm sure will have aspirations in this competition.
Yeah, I think when you look through the fixtures, I mean, as I said earlier, there's a lot of big teams, both Donegal League and Ashon teams will have aspirations to go to the next round, without a doubt. So, I mean, again, not knowing too much about how the Ashon's league going, Kildrum were going very well in Donegal League, so at the end they'll probably fancy their chances, albeit an away tie.
Yeah, and the all-conquering Coghill Celtic there at home to Gwydor Celtic, you'd fancy Coghill in that one, but it's the cup, so, you know, Gwydor Celtic, no pressure on them at all.
Absolutely, it's a free shot for Gwydor. You know, having played them just last week, you know, they're a good young team with experience right down the core. So again, as you go, it's a cup match. You know, there's nothing to lose, really. Just go and have a crack at it. I know Gwydor would have played one of the big teams in the FAI Junior Cup too, and that's exactly the attitude they had from chatting to them last week. They went and had a go at it. That's only all you can do in the cup.
Yeah, Kildaff are taking on Bonagee. Some of the older listeners might recall the days when Kildaff under Sean Davis were in the Ulster Senior League. They even played Shamrock Rovers in the League Cup. These days, maybe going through a little bit of a more of a transition period, and that'll be a tough game for them. But Bonagee, they won't fancy the trip down to Carrotra Park, because that's never an easy place to go to.
No, absolutely not. And I'm just as you go through the fixtures, whoever drew the teams out were kind of kind to the Nishon teams. But look, yeah, again, Bonagee, a good, very strong team, good players, very, you know, experienced core through the middle. They'll be going there for the win, and I'm sure Kildaff will be fancying their chances with home advantage, looking to pull off possibly a shock, you know, there.
Yeah. Glenae United, winners of the Donegal League Premier Division a few seasons back against Inishowen opposition in Alia, who are always a pretty decent side. That's probably one of the harder ones to call.
Yeah, but look, going down to Glenae, having been there numerous times throughout my own career, it's, you know, it's a difficult place to go down on a good day, never mind in the middle of November, coming into December. So, look, again, Glenae, over the last number of weeks, they've pulled off a good number of results. I think they pulled off an away victory against Donegal Town in Division 1. So, I'd say on Glenae's form, they'll be fancying their chances with a home tie.
Yeah. Now, Monaghan, sad to see, they've actually withdrawn from the competition, so they won't be taking on Kilmacrenan. So that leaves us one other fixture, and it's the big one of the round, Letterkenny Rovers against Fannie United. Definitely two of the strongest teams, and whoever goes out here, well, naturally enough, they'll be disappointed. Whoever progresses to the next round possibly could be the favourites.
Yeah, it's a rekindling of old foes of the Ulster Senior League, you know. I know both managers, you know, and very much know Ardy and how he sets up his team. Look, we've had first-hand experience playing Letterkenny Rovers 2 weeks in a row. Without a doubt, a very, very talented team. Some great players there. But Fannad, you know, anybody who knows Arthur Lynch, you know, and his teams, how they set up, they work hard. And, you know, it's really, really, this one would be a tight one to call, you know, with both teams going really well in the league as well. I know Fannad came off a defeat last week. They'll be looking to respond there. So definitely a difficult out of all the ties. I think that will be the most difficult to call there.
Yeah. And finally, Dan, we mentioned travel and geography, and you're really sort of the only side from south of the gap in the Brian McCormick Premier Division. So you do have a lot of travel. Donegal Town going well in Division 1. They might get up, and I'm sure it would be good for the game if there were more teams from the south of the county.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, every away game for us now is nearly, you know, a minimum of an hour travel, and it's great to see the likes of Donegal Town pushing on, and hopefully they can, you know, continue their form throughout the season to keep pushing them up. You know, it's for this side of the county, I suppose, it's you have, you know, there's teams with Dunkinelly and Letterbarrow and Donegal Town, and then Wanderers back in there, you know, but so it's great and important that these teams continue to, I suppose, you know, maintain their standards, and, you know, continue to get teams out week on week, because, like as you said, it's great to see it for this side of the county, and I suppose in ourselves being in the Premier Division, we'd welcome more local teams getting up there, without a doubt, for travel purposes, but also, like, for, I suppose, you know, local derbies, you know you miss that. We probably don't have any local derbies unless we're drawn in a cup against any of the teams. So as I say, it's always great to have a neighbouring club in with you.
St Catherine's Secretary Dan Breslin speaking with Highland's Chris Ashmore. Well, elsewhere in the Ulster Cup on Sunday, Kildrum Tigers, they travel to play Carndonagh. Coghill Celtic host Gidore Celtic. Bonagie United travel to play Kildaff. Alec take on Glenaie United. The two of the big hitters in the Donegal League Premier Division face off as Fannin United travel to play Letterkenny Rovers. And Clonmany Shamrocks take on Buncrana Hearts in an Inishowen derby. Now, in the Donegal Junior Leagues this weekend, there are eight games across the three divisions on Saturday. And on Sunday, there's actually no games in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division, but there is one fixture in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1. The two of the bottom three meet as Gidore United take on Cranford. In the Donegal Physiotherapy and Performance Centre Division 2, Convoy Arsenal, who currently sit second, they can go top with an away win at Drumkeen United. And the bottom two meet as Duncan Ely Celtic play Raphoe Town, also in that division at the weekend. White Strand United host Deal Harps. On Sunday in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division in Inishowen, Greencastle will look to pick up their first win of the campaign with a home match against Redcastle. There's also a full round of fixtures in Division 1 and the Inishowen Football Leagues this Sunday. Now it is time for another commercial break. After these, we will be going to athletics. Welcome back to the final part of tonight's programme. And now we're going to focus on athletics. And the Irish Athletics Awards took place last night in Santry. And Donegal's Kelly McGrory was among the winners. The Tyrconnell AC athlete was part of the women's 4x400m relay team that was named the Team of the Year. They set a national record en route to finishing fourth at the Paris Olympics, with McGrory running in the heat to qualify for the final. The team also won silver at the European Championships earlier in the year. Well, off the balls, Aisling O'Reilly spoke with McGrory and her teammate Sophie Becker at yesterday's award ceremony.
Congratulations, Sophie Becker and Kelly McGorry, Team of the Year, in these beautiful outfits as well. You look absolutely stunning. Tell me, what does it mean to win Team of the Year, Sophie?
Oh, look, it means so much. Like, we were up against some really big teams, especially the mixed 4x4 that obviously took home gold at the European Championship. So it was a really tight competition, which is crazy to say for, like, you know, for Ireland, to say there's so much competition like that. And it just means so much. Like, I think we obviously started the year at the World Indoor Championships and finished it with fourth place in Paris. So in between there, obviously, we had our silver medal as well at Europeans. Like, the team has been through a lot. And I just think, this is a really nice recognition of all the hard work all year, all the different individuals that were involved in it, and just a really nice way to top off the year.
Yeah, it's such a team effort, and you feel that there's such a buzz around Irish athletics at the minute. Kelly, if you had one highlight, there's been so many, I'm sure it's hard to choose. What is your highlight of the year?
My highlight, and we were just talking about it, was watching the girls run in the final and Ireland literally being at the front of the pack in the Olympic final. I just think it was such a monumental moment to see Irish girls, like, front running a race. And yeah, it's just, I think it will actually change the way we approach our sport and the way that Ireland are going to be perceived by other teams for the future in athletics. Yeah.
Yeah, being there at the Olympics and that experience, it's going to stand to you forever now. And I suppose it gives you a massive belief to know that you can mix it with the best and up there with the biggest nations in the world. So for you, do you feel like almost a little bit of a different athlete coming home from the Olympics?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think that change kind of came just progressively throughout the Olympics. Like, myself and Charlene obviously raced a good few times, and I think the difference from the first race I ran to the very last one, I definitely became a different athlete. I just felt so at home there, that whole imposter syndrome kind of left, and I just felt so comfortable. And I think it just adds so much to the athlete I am now and the athlete that I'll be out on the track over the next year, and hopefully at the World Championships in Tokyo. So yeah, it's stuff like that you just can never, I think, learn or pick up. It's just through habit and just through repeating the process and just experiencing it.
And the impact that it has had also on athletics, yes, here in Ireland, but even just on young athletes, young people in Ireland, has been massive. Did you feel that when you came home?
Yeah, like, for sure. We heard from a lot of clubs saying that they have waiting lists now for their juveniles joining their clubs, and just to hear that is huge, especially, like, in athletics sometimes we feel like we're a minority sport, and you know that it's definitely not the most popular up there in Ireland, but now I think we're definitely one of the more talked about sports. You know, we're going to be up there, and hopefully we're going to be the sport that little kids are like, I want to join the local athletics club now. So yeah, it's definitely made such a difference this summer.
And did you get a bit of time off when you got home, or were you straight back into training?
I probably took too much time off, I would say. I took like, I think 2 months off, which is the longest I've ever taken, but I just needed it. My body, my mind, everything. Like this year, literally from the get-go, since January, it's just been go, 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 you know, chasing qualifications, chasing times for so many different things, trying to secure your placing. And I think I can speak for like all of us when I say none of us probably realized the impact it was having on us until we actually stopped and just took time to breathe, really. So yeah, it took a long time off, but it was absolutely needed. And yeah, we're hungry and ready to go again for the next season.
Good stuff. So what is next for your individual events and also for your team events as well?
I suppose a lot of us will be targeting indoors. We have European indoors next year. The big one next year is World Outdoors in Tokyo. So I suppose individually and for the relays, they're kind of the main ones that we'll be hoping to get a relay team in, to get in individually. And obviously we all want to do as well as we can in our individual events as well. And that's just going to bring the team on too. So that's kind of the aims for next year. It won't be as chaotic a year. I think 2024 will go down in history with our coaches too for planning for so many championships. But next year is going to be a long season. So yeah, we just need to keep our head focused, I suppose, for that long time.
And the training already looks quite full on, Sophie. I've seen some of your Instagram posts.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to glamorize this time of year. I feel like you're not very fast. Everything is like dark and wet and slow. So yeah, just trying to glamorize it a little bit, let people in to see the hurt that we're all going through at the minute. But it's fun. You just keep picturing like the summer that was and hopefully what's to come next year, and it just spurs you on, gets you through it.
Now, just quickly turn our attention to rugby this weekend. Ireland will be looking for another win as they take on Fiji at the Aviva Stadium on Saturday afternoon. That one gets underway at 3:10. And a bit closer to home in the Ulster Premiership 2 on Saturday, Omagh host Ballyclare. In the Junior Shield, Limavady travel to take on Clogher Valley. And in the Provincial North section, Donegal Town make the trip to face Coleraine. Well, that is it for this week's episode of The Score, and I have been your host, Mark Gallagher. If you missed any of tonight's programme, it will be available shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Have a great weekend.